Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
But you already know that because you're a Patreon listener and you support us. So that's why this is here. Why did you squint your eyes?
This was so loud.
Oh, sorry. We just finished our episode on Martian Manhunter, and now we thought we would talk about a certain subject that is near and dear to our hearts. What is that, Ashley?
Well, it's mostly near and dear to Martian Manhunter's heart.
His multiple hearts.
Maybe.
Yep.
He has about a gazillion secret identities.
And hearts.
And, you know, I thought maybe we'll talk about who among the Justice Leaguers has the best secret identity, and then who among the Justice Leaguers has the crappiest secret identity. And I thought, well, they're mostly crappy because they were mostly come up within the Golden Age. And then I thought, is it even worth it for superheroes to have a secret identity? Because there are several Justice Leaguers who don't.
Are we going to keep it to the core seven?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
so Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, Martian Manhunter, Aquaman, and let's just throw in Cyborg.
Yeah, let's throw Cyborg
okay.
in there.
So eight.
Because there are some characters, like Cyborg, for example, can't have a secret identity.
Nope, half his face is out there.
You know, and then one wonders, like, if you're Diana, if you're Wonder Woman, like...
And Wonder Woman has had a secret identity.
She has.
Diana Prince, she was a secret agent.
But it's just way cooler to be Wonder Woman the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, and if you don't have like a large family group, then I guess maybe that's an okay idea. Like, I don't know. Do you think it's even worth it to have a secret identity?
Anymore?
Yeah.
Not really. No. Unless you can do something like Batman
mm-hmm.
and cover most of your face.
Yeah.
Then I understand it.
You don't think glasses cuts it?
No, not anymore. Not anymore. I really don't think glasses cut it anymore. And the thing about it is that that's the most golden age of them all.
Mm-hmm.
The one that people would just accept glasses. And we've seen a lot of brilliant writers like Grant Morrison explain how those work.
Mm-hmm.
Like in All-Star Superman, there's a whole thing that like he wears clothes that are baggy. And he hunches so that he's like 3 inches shorter. He has bad posture and that he's constantly like a dope
mm-hmm.
so that people will never think that this dope in the corner is Superman. But I don't think it cuts it. Like that's going to be the most interesting thing for me in the new Batman v Superman movie is like, how do they explain it? Because if I'm Bruce Wayne and I'm looking right at Clark Kent, there's no way. I don't immediately like that guy, Superman.
I will also say that in Batman v Superman, I am super interested to see the angry Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ben Affleck's going to kill it. But for me, the reason that the Bruce Wayne identity works is because he is like happy-go-lucky. I don't care about anything, like playboy guy. So to me, if you're angry Bruce Wayne, then you're giving into the Batman a little more.
Yeah, but it's also the thing about if we're going to that movie. That we haven't seen. It's
all speculation.
Well, if in that universe it's said that the Batman has never been seen. The Batman's never been photographed.
That's true.
You know, and I assume that this big end battle is going to be the first time that most of the public sees Batman.
Okay.
So you would have nothing to compare it to. And also, if all you show is your mouth.
Yeah.
It's really hard to identify you.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely true. Like, more than the domino mask.
Yes.
I don't think...
Domino masks don't work.
I love them aesthetically, but I don't think Green Lantern gets away with
it. No, Green Lantern does not get away with
it. Kyle Rayner gets away with it.
Kyle Rayner gets away with it because it hides most of his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
It hides most of his cheekbones. Like, it kind of does... It kind of is almost a cowl, except that he shows you his hair and he shows you his mouth.
Yeah.
But everything else is covered.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Wally West headpiece.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think, to be honest with you, the best one is Wally West, not Barry Allen. And the reason why I make that distinction is if you look at the Flash TV show, and this is a mask that I don't give it to, mostly a cowl headpiece.
Yeah.
Hide your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Hide your cheekbones, right? But they have an open eye hole.
They're giant.
And
I get it because you don't want to put makeup on his face and you want to make it easy to put on and take
yes,
off.
Yes, and you want to make sure that the actor is there. But Barry Allen in the comics did the same thing. So for my opinion, if you look at The Flash in the TV show, most of his face is out in the open. I can see his eyebrows. I can see his nose. I can see most of his cheekbones.
Well, they stopped.
It's Grant Gustin.
They did this mostly in the first season, and I think it was a budgetary thing because now they're trying to do bigger effects and bigger villains.
Yep.
They used to have him do the vibrating thing.
Yes.
Which I'm totally willing to buy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that anymore, and he doesn't modulate his voice.
No, he does modulate his voice. He does
sometimes.
He did it for Linda.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's not enough.
Yeah.
To me, I would still look at you and be like, "Oh, you're Barry Allen."
Well, especially if it's someone who you're like intimately involved mm-hmm. with, like they know what you look like.
But that's why I give that. I think the best is Flash,
mm-hmm.
and it's Wally West Flash because his cowl closed the eyes. It didn't have the giant eye holes.
Yeah.
You know, so he was mostly cowled, just like Batman. But yeah, no, Green Lantern, everybody knows that's Hal Jordan. Come on now. And Diana Prince's Wonder Woman identity was green sunglasses.
Yeah.
And then she combed her hair back. And you're just like, oh, okay.
I guess.
All right. No, I don't know. Like,
So if you're writing a comic book of a superhero that you've invented, do you give them a secret identity? Do you do it because it's expected?
Here's the thing. I give them the secret identity in the first arc,
mm-hmm.
but then it gets blown.
So you do like the Jaime thing.
Jaime thing.
Didn't Jaime Reyes, Blue Beetle.
The second Blue Beetle.
Yeah. His family figured it out like really quick.
No, he told them.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, he told them right away. In that book, the family knows, but nobody else knows because he has a full face mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would do that. To me, I don't think you can keep it from the loved ones and your friends and family and girlfriend. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the world of the internet and so many cameras that everybody's got a phone and a video camera everyone has a camera and a video camera on their phone. I don't think you can keep it hidden because like there are so many scenes where and the Flash is guilty of this, but even the Spider-Man movies, well, they'll land on a rooftop and they'll immediately take off their face mask.
Yeah.
And I get that because you're just like, oh, we want to see this actor that we paid millions of dollars to.
Yeah. That we're marketing this film on.
But you cannot tell me that somebody in the apartment building across the way did not see you land on that rooftop and goes, click, click, click.
Yeah, but you know what? Flash doesn't even need to worry about that because like 80 people know that he's the Flash.
It's ridiculous. It's just, I don't think you can keep it secret anymore. And to be honest with you, that's one of the things that I was so intrigued about with that new Superman storyline, Truth, because I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome if they stick to it.
Yeah.
If they stick to it and like Clark Kent's identity is just out in the open here on going forward. Because to me, in the Man of Steel universe,
mm-hmm.
everybody in Smallville knows.
Yes, definitely.
But they keep it secret.
But I think that is a telling thing all the way back to Clark Kent, because he was raised by these people
yep.
who figured this out about him, and they loved him enough and they supported him enough to not blow it.
He saved the town enough that they decide to keep it secret. It's also the thing.
But like, that's the stock of people that he was raised by. Like, that's amazing.
Yes. It's also the thing, too. I'm 100% that Perry White knows.
Oh, yeah?
100%. I think that's the only reason why Perry White hires him at the end of Man of Steel.
Well, also because, I mean, from everything that I can tell in Man of Steel, he never went to college.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a good job or any experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just like, all right, Lawrence Fishburne, like you do you.
Yeah, it's one of those things to me that I also think that like most of the people of the Daily Planet have to know too.
Yeah.
Like they have to know and they keep it secret for the greater good.
Interesting.
Which I also think is a compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the secret identity where nobody knows it and it's only you doesn't work anymore. And also, to be honest with you, in terms of Arrow,
mm-hmm.
It got revealed last season that mm-hmm. like, oh, he was Oliver Queen. And they sort of put it back in the bag with Colin, with Roy Harper, like dressing up in the Arrow costume. And in this season, in the new season, most of Star City is like, oh, yeah, Oliver Queen isn't the Arrow, except for Captain Lance. Captain Lance has basically started the season going up to, and this is spoilers for Arrow. I'm sorry, Arrow season 4. Captain Lance walked up to Oliver Queen in the first episode and was like, oh, where's your hood? Where you going at?
Really?
Yeah. Like he didn't buy it. But the rest of Star City sort of did. And I'm kind of like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued for that show. And I hope they do this in the fifth season to where he reveals it publicly to the entire city, because I think that is a compelling story.
It also speaks to, I guess, a belief in your community that they'll stand behind you.
Well, it's also the same thing as the Daredevil storyline. Mm-hmm. The Daredevil storyline where he was out in secret and like he just sort of publicly denied it, but basically everybody knew.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was very compelling, you know. I just think in our society, unless you wear a full face mask or something like Batman or Wally West Flash, you're not pulling it off.
But you also, you can't, if you're going to do that, in the real world, like you have powers or you don't or whatever.
Okay, I'm in the real world, I have powers.
You can't do that and have normal relationships.
No.
People are going to know because you're going to get hurt. If you live with someone, they're going to know that you're out all hours of the night.
Yeah.
Like,
they're also.
I don't want to be disrespectful about people who grew up in the 50s, but I was not alive in the 50s. And I know that thing, you know, you couldn't do that now.
Yeah, no, you could totally couldn't do it now. And also it'd be the thing that we've seen on Supergirl,
mm-hmm.
where Cat Grant starts putting it together that like, oh, every time I see Supergirl, I don't see Kara.
Yeah. Anyone you're spending like more than an hour with at a time is going to figure it out.
Yes, they're going to figure it out, and they're going to figure it out pretty quickly. Anybody that knows you is going to figure it out. You know, I don't know. That's where I'm at with Secret Identity. I don't know. What about you? Would you have a secret? Do you think it can work with Secret Identity? You're inventing a new superhero. Do you give them a secret identity or they're out in the public? Or are they that superhero the entire time?
See, I'm intrigued by the idea that you could be like, quote, out as a superhero. But I hate the trope, and I read it in a lot of books that are really good. But I hate the trope now where if the superhero is out, they're a celebrity. And that everyone like, and I get it because you don't want to treat them like a criminal and have them fighting the cops the entire time.
Well, besides Booster Gold and the Fantastic Four, who is that?
Well, it's a big thing in Jupiter's Legacy.
Oh, okay, got it.
And like Seven by the Luna Brothers, okay. and whatever. And it's just not, there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't like it.
Got it.
So like if I'm inventing a superhero, I would be inclined to kind of do like the Invincible thing. Like you have your network of people who know.
Yeah.
And like one of the first things that he does in that is he goes and tells his best friend, and his best friend's like, dude, you have to fly me around.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that was so great because I was like, that's what you would do.
And also,
it's like what they do with Miles.
He also has an advantage in that book that he sort of works for the Department of the NSA.
Yeah.
And the Pentagon. And I think anybody that kind of sort of figures it out, they would pay off or mind wipe.
Yeah.
So that they sort of have like a sort of like safety net in that series, which is also, I think, a well-designed. That series is very well-designed. By the way, if you've never read Invincible and you're over the age of 14, go read it because it's very bloody and it's very sexy.
But read the first two trades as if it's the first trade because there's a big reveal at the end of the second trade.
Read at least the first 10 issues.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop until you read the first 10 issues. And then basically it's Son of Superman. It's a guy who, it's a kid, Mark Grayson, who is the son of the most famous superhero in the world, Omni-Man, and he develops his superpowers. And so he's like, I'm going to be a superhero too.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. But I think that, if I was writing a superhero, I would probably rather write a vigilante than a superhero, but yeah, I would do my network of people.
No.
And I would rather do that and then have them lean on these people than have it be like, I'm going to
hurt my head. Well, that was the thing that made Blue Beetle, the first version of Blue Beetle, not the post New 52 version of Blue Beetle, because I don't like that series. The Keith Giffen one was so good because his family knew and his family helped him.
Yeah.
And he had his little sister, his 10-year-old little sister, like saying certain things or be like, oh, you got hit too hard. I saw on the news. And,
aww.
You know, but initially she was scared of him. Because in the comics, she was frightened of him because she didn't understand the armor.
Yeah.
And she thought like he was sort of a monster.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like it was interesting. And then like his dad and his mom, like not wanting their 14-year-old son to go out and fight crime. They were like, no, you stay home. And he's like, I got to go, mom. No, you stay home. You know,
well, that's what a good parent would do.
And his mom also was a nurse, and his mom took him to the hospital and did every single medical test ever because she was like, you're sick and we're going to cure you.
Oh, wow.
No, it's a great read. If you never read that Blue Beetle is a great like a kid family superhero book. It's so good. And it's one of my favorite series that DC has ever done. And I'm so mad they canceled it, but whatever. It's so good.
I think secret.
We can wrap it up.
I think secret identities are kind of passe.
They are.
I think you're stuck with them now because it has become such a trope.
It's a staple. It's a trope of the genre, so that's the reason why you have to do it.
But I do think that if your character is Martian Manhunter and they're a shapeshifter, that is one of the only times it can work.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it too, and I don't want to make this a Marvel DC thing, but look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
There are no secret identities.
Nope.
There's not a single secret identity. And that's the funny thing I think about.
Wow, I never thought about that before.
There's not a single one. There is not. See, Spider-Man is going to stand out, actually. Because if you think about their cinematic universe, he'll be the first hero that will have a secret identity.
I mean, maybe Black. No, not they, Black Panther.
Well, they might hide Black Panther. They might hide it, but you're going to find out, I think, by the end of the first movie that he, who he is.
I mean, I guess Daredevil's really the first one.
Well, if you go for the Marvel television universe, yes. Okay, Daredevil. Daredevil's the first one. Yes.
But in the movies, yeah, it'll be.
But think about that. Like, in movies, there's nobody.
There's
not a single secret identity.
That's very interesting.
And it's very interesting because all of them in the comic books had secret identities.
Yes.
All of them.
Yes.
You know. But they are doing the thing with all of them that they are, in that cinematic universe, they're all celebrities. All of them.
Yeah, well, they're all independently wealthy.
Yeah. So that they can be the superhero the full time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Cool.
All right, that's it.
That's it.
That's all we got for this Geek History Lesson Extra on secret identities. We hope you liked the discussion. Thank you guys so much for your support. It is because of you that this podcast happens almost every week, because there's sometimes we don't do it, you know, with Christmas and stuff like that. And we thank your appreciation for the, you know, something like that. Okay, that's it for Geeks to Listen Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Be seeing ya, ya animals.